Okay, let's get down to business. I'm going to put Kiri on first, read her letter.
Okay.
Okay, and then Kiri will hop off, and then we'll get down to Amal straight away. Okay?
Right.
Okay, hello. Okay, let me start. Okay, it goes. Dear Kara, Tia, Russ, Mark, and dearest Kiri, thank you very much for your assistance in helping me through a most difficult time in my life. The fact now that I know that I'm dying from what was done to me is unimportant. The experiments that they ran, although I do not recall them very clearly, were very horrific. But the love that you have shown me and the times that you have helped me when I have been in acute pain and suffering have brightened my life tremendously. Even though I know I won't see my 24th birthday, I would like to say thank you to those people that have helped me tremendously. And from those people that came to visit when I needed help most, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart with all my love and being. The understanding that you people have shown me on this path through the suffering that I went through has seemed to make it easier to bear the fact that I have very little of my own genetic material left. The fact I will never have children, even though I have less than a year to live, seems irrelevant. The being that I am now could never have been if it hadn't been for the suffering I went through. I would not change it for one second. The love and understanding that I achieved after the horrors I went through, the dreams that I had, if they were dreams, seems be bearable, but I would not want anyone to go through the nightmares or the dreams. I won't tell you what the dreams are because they are too painful. Even now, the fact that I have had 2 years of wonderful love and help from such wonderful people as Kara, Tia, Russ, Mark, and of course, dearest Kiri, it is still something that I feel people should learn from, that what happened, even though it was negative, is now something that is bearable because where I am now on a wonderful planet with wonderful people makes life easier. I have selected my return box, or as I used to call it when I was younger, a coffin. I have selected the material of finest silk and satin. I know that nobody on home, as much as I would love to see them before I go, will ever see me again. That I will be buried where I can overlook and watch and see when I wait for rebirth, see them as they are, not as they are in my memory. The time that I spent in the cold, cruel, harsh, deep freeze dream world is something that goes without words. It's hard to explain. I will try to explain in the next few lines. The best way to describe it was like, pardon me, Russ, it was like being in a deep sleep, filled with horrible images. It is hard to put it to pen and paper and to realize that it made me who I am now, from the shy girl on the base that bowed her head and shuffled along to somebody that is suffering from accelerated aging. They have robbed me part of my growing, but I hold no malice due to the fact that without that suffering, I would not be Sarah. I would not be the same lady as I am now. I would still be somebody that was smoking pot, getting high every night, and kicking back and sleeping around. Now I am somebody that understands the purpose of life, the purpose of where to go, and as a return payment, if it would be possible to give the information of the importance of having a purpose, even though it may be short, that is something that would be my gift, to give somebody that chance to have a purpose, not to go the path that I was heading of, to say it, a whore. I was sleeping around. I was doing drugs. That's not a life. Life is to be lived, to be enjoyed, to smell the flowers. The flowers that I smell now remind me of home. The birds I see overhead remind me of home. The beautiful, warm sun that beats on my skin as I sit here under this tree writing this letter is so much joy that it is hard to explain. The simple pleasures, as my friend here tells me, the simple country girl, it is wonderful to enjoy things as they are, not to live in a pseudo world of happiness created by inhaling pot or marijuana or snorting coke or smoking crack. That's not a life. A life is to be enjoyed, to lead it at full strength. Rest of it's pretty personal, so I'm going to skip over that and just get to the end here. Now, as I run out of paper and pen and the inkwell is drying up, it's time for me again to wish love and happiness to everybody. Once again, thank you to Kara. Thank you to Tia. Thank you to Russ. Thank you to Mark. And to my dearest, dearest Kiri, I give you all my love. Maybe one day we will be together again. I love Sarah. Sorry, I skipped over a page and a half.
That's a deep word.
Well, she's growing. I talk to her about once a week. I met her a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Remember her shuffling along, crying? And she seems to remember you well and fondly.
Apparently, I just don't remember. I remember being very concerned for her.
Kara's saying, you remember the young lady that was lying on the table that she was examining on one time and you held her hand?
Yeah.
That was Sarah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Tia says it's time for me to hop out. I need to go and dry my eyes a little bit.
Hugs.
Yes. I don't think she realised, you know, how precious paper is.
Yeah, I heard.
I didn't know that they did. Kiri and Sarah. Yeah, that's a personal part. Mm-hmm. Okay, questions before I put them all on? You wait? Okay. I've got something to say to you before I go. Do you know why the Easter Bunny hides his eggs?
No, if you can actually answer that, I can tell a lot of people that.
because he doesn't want anybody to know that he's sleeping with a chicken.
Lots of people on the internet very happy. What question for 3 days straight now?
Greetings and felicitations. Greetings, Russ. Greetings, Karen.
Greetings.
Greetings and what?
Okay, let us get down for answering your questions concerning this matter that you wish addressed.
Zeta too.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I'd like to say that I think the letter from Sarah is self-explanatory and dovetails nicely with this upcoming subject and topic of discussion.
Oh, I agree. Definitely. It's all going on the same updates.
Correct. It seems that she holds no malice towards them.
No, she sees it from a higher perspective of being part of the path that she's chosen.
I see it that she has had a good influence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people down here on Earth who go through similar things. You know, auto accidents that paralyze them permanently, shorten their lives, or whatever, or make them a living hell.
And the other ones that go through more or less the same thing. You can't figure out where it's coming from, and people are calling them nuts.
And they don't get half as much insight and growth as she got.
Now she had, as she put it, a wonderful opportunity to learn. Mm-hmm. And learn she has.
Agreed.
From what I've heard, she is developing into a six-dimensional young lady. Now, there is nothing that we can do for her. We can't rejuvenate her as much as we would like to. We can't tamper with her genetic material because, as she said, there is so little of her left in the genetic essence. And it has given hours, or rather should I say, months of aggravation to Cormac, who has tried to puzzle over this. But let us address your questions.
Okay. All right, I'm assuming you got a report on last night's Zeta Reticuli revelations.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so we're going to deal with that at the present. Now, I'm going to start from, it's 1 through 20 pages, but I've got some parts highlighted here. I just want to go over with you real quickly.
Okay, let us proceed. It would be difficult to answer all the questions if you were to ask from that you have in your mind. So we will take ones that you select that you feel are important.
Okay. The Zetas have been continuing with projects by our own allowance. They've made some discoveries. They're learning. They're growing. And part of their consciousness wants to share the discoveries with the people being channeled to. And the question I've got is, supposedly, this allowance that we give them is all subconscious to let them in to tamper with our bodies and, you know, work their experiments so they can learn. What of this?
It is trickery. And the way it is done is very cleverly. Let me put it this way to you. Russ, would you like to help us develop a higher evolutionary mind on your planet?
Of course.
Would you let us do it our way so that you can benefit in such a way that your race will grow at a rapid accelerated rate and have all the lessons that are necessary to learn in that accelerated time?
No, I'd rather learn on our own pace, actually, but with insight from yourself. That's what I would. But knowing where this question's leading, yeah, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. Not if I didn't know where it was leading to.
Would you let us use the material from you that would be able to create a group of individuals that would be able to watch over and protect you?
Well, that's a tough one because you already have.
Yes, but that has been with full knowledge.
Absolutely, right. So without full knowledge, I'd have to have my reservations personally, consciously.
Karen, would you let us use your genetic material, whatever is necessary, for us to create a race of guardians to protect you from hostile aliens?
I don't know. Well, knowing who you guys are, yeah, but if I didn't know, no. I don't think I'd want any parts of my body missing. I've already got parts of my body missing.
We would not take anything that would be needed. We'd only use material that you have to spare.
Like ovum.
Oh. Reproduce the mesoterans. It's like, no, I don't think, I don't know.
No, Russ spoiled that, actually.
I don't know if I could, well, he's got a couple of chances.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got mine down here, and I know of three, and no, I don't think I'd want a whole mess of them that I didn't know about floating around, no.
No, but Russ spoiled the question. Russ, there is a punishment for that.
Should I buy him?
After the channeling session, 20 press-ups, please.
That shoulder's really killing me.
It is the lesson. And thank you for spoiling my avenue that I was exploring. But you see where I was going.
Right.
That the way that those were worded, you voluntarily, consciously gave your consent up until the last question.
Yeah.
If Russ hadn't have said, borrowing over, or use ovens, would you have consented?
No, because your guys are going to create guardians to watch over me. You should have the guardians there already.
True. But you see what has happened. The answer most people would give is yes, to protect your race. And I did not tell you everything. I led you in an avenue that is easy for you to fall into. That saying yes, yes, yes. I did not tell you what we intended to do with those materials. I did not tell you how we wished to proceed. I just asked you, would it be possible? Very nicely as well, might I add. But I asked the questions in such a way that I was using half lies, half truths.
Lying by omission.
Correct. So you see where their questions head and how they manipulate. I was not being particularly clever in the way that I was wording them. I could word it totally different and sucker you right in. It is easy to do.
I don't think any being could do that. I mean, you know, you can actually come through and just say that, you know, hey, we're a dying planet because the women don't have any ovum. Do you have any to spare?
Exactly.
And any person with kids would say, sure, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there are different ways of doing it. And this is what they've done. Next question, please.
Okay, there's apparently various groups of Zetas spread out between three different categories. Straight Zeta, which is the consciousness that exists within the outer perimeters of fourth density reality. Therefore, they are just barely physical, mostly plasmic in nature. Then there is the altered Zetas, which would be a straight Zeta altered physically, or in their consciousness, to allow them to interact with you on a physical plane or a type of quasi-physical reality. One moment. Category 3 would be a hybrid. It spans many different offshoots. The idea you call negatively oriented groups are not necessarily placed within these categories we have outlined, though they can be for purposes of illustration. Now, the question is, with the first two groups, they can work with the person in their dream state. Does this also include abductions?
Yes. You can take somebody physically in their dream state. For example, Mark, Kiri could quite easily talk to somebody and have them stand up and follow them by using coercion when they're asleep. That is very easy to do. You wake them up to a state where they're still asleep, but their mind is now conscious and easy to manipulate. Kiri is saying that is one of the things that is totally forbidden to do.
Okay. Now, with that same sentence, it makes the subject that there are good Zetas and, of course, negative Zetas.
Mm-hmm.
The good Zetas are, for example, 30 individuals sit in a ship within the atmosphere of the planet of the people that are being channeled to here.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a good Zetas?
Yes, there are. Just as there are good humans and bad humans.
Hmm.
They suffer from the problem of they cannot differentiate between what is positive and negative in how they deal with people. They assume, like most intelligent races, that a lower intelligence will see it from their point of view. Whether their point of view is flawed or not is besides the point. Their intentions are, as they see them, good. The fact that they do not give you full information and access to that information seems to be irrelevant for your own good from their point of view.
Okay. All right. Are you on a time schedule? It's real time.
I am a little.
I'll try to rush you the words of this thing. Okay.
Oops, too slow.
One of the questions asked was if humanoids were to take up travel in outer space, what changes would happen in their bodies? And the answer was the fact that there would be a change in our connection to time continuum, which would allow our DNA structure to unlock from the template of the planet Earth time continuum, to allow more freedom within the consciousness to allow for other types of travel and expansion once you leave your solar system. Now, I don't remember that ever having to happen.
No, it doesn't quite work like that. They are correct, and they're lying. Well, not lying. They are tinting the truth. What happens when individuals leave a planet is the faster that they approach the speed of light, time slows down externally for them relative to how fast they are traveling. Let us say they're traveling at half light speed, which would make it about 8 years to get to a neighboring star. Okay. Light travels from there 4 years approximately to your planet. Traveling at half light speed means that it would take you relatively inside the ship only 8 years to get there. However, outside, a serious amount of time would have elapsed, maybe 50 to 100 years, because you have approached the half the speed of light, which means that time would speed up externally, whereas internally it would slow down. But you would not notice the change that it is slowed down. Let us say you travel faster than the speed of light. Now, time externally would really accelerate. The fact that you would arrive on the planet, let us say, at twice the speed of light, means that only 2 years have elapsed for you. But in actual fact, 4 years has elapsed externally on your home planet. I know there is a difference in the figures here. This is because you would be seeing things 4 years in the past if you were to look back. You take the 4 years and multiply it by the speed. So that would be 12 years. 12 years into your future on a planet orbiting Alpha Centauri means that you would be looking back 12 years to return back to your point of origin. You would be 12 years into the future plus the return of time, which would make it 24. But traveling at half the speed of light, that would be doubled. The faster you travel, the less time would have been elapsed.
Thank you. All right. Another question that I've heard before, and this concerns everything that we're talking about so far. What is the purpose and mission of the Zeta Contact? And the idea they like to stress most is they are teaching us about fear. That they are, in a sense, representing to us the idea of unity, whereas we represent to them the idea of individuality. And neither of us are victims of the other. We are all co-creators in what is going on. Now, in that sense, it makes it sound as though our individuality is a negative, as opposed to their Borg-like mentality.
It is not. Both are not. Does not a football team function as one, but yet the individuals on that team make it function as one. Individual players, let us select somebody like Boswell, become heroes, but without him, the team would not function as well. But without him, the team would continue, and does continue, functioning. Let us take another individual. Let us take Joe Montana. When he was with the 49ers, the team functioned wonderfully. He left the team and went to Kansas City team. What happened to the 49ers?
They dropped, but they survived.
Yeah, they did great last season.
Correct. So, the individual does not make a team. He is a team player. Without him, the team will carry on functioning. Not as well until it recovers, but it will continue functioning. So, to say that acting in a group like consciousness is good is wrong. But it is also right. It depends on how the group interacts, whether or not it becomes a unit as one, or reacts as a group of individuals acting as one. Individual choice can be good and bad. An individual that makes a bad call, but if it is carried out well, may in actual fact turn out to be positive. So both behaviors are very necessary. The development of pure one consciousness is a negative in that you have no free will to do as you wish, and your interaction is no longer valid in how the group reacts. You react as the group wishes you to for a certain situation. Certainly it has more different options to explore, but it has to be achieved quickly. So therefore, one individual will oversee another individual in the consciousness. But individuality on its own can be very dangerous if it is not used correctly in a group environment. A group of individuals that work individually may end up hurting each other. It is teamwork with individual ways of behavior that seem to work best.
Okay. Now, this deals with the abductions and the fact that the Zeta Reticuli have bred out of themselves that which we call emotion. And the purpose of the abductions is that they can insert probes and then retract them at later times, which have stored up a neurochemical secretion that they figure they can put into themselves to re-bring in emotions into the race again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an act that we attribute to the negative Zetas as well as apparently the positives who, you know, perfectly say, you know, let's go along with this.
Okay.
Extracting information can be useful, but I refer you to the answer I gave right at the start. That is the best way to explain it.
Okay. Okay, do you have any questions before I'm taking up all of them?
I don't think you've gotten to the one that I wanted to ask.
I have one on sexual behavior.
That's not the one I wanted to ask.
Okay. Now, as for, one of the things that came up here, we had a lot of problems with, was for as for the amount of interaction we will have sexually, that'll be up to agreements between you as an individual and us as a group. So, again, we come to, as in your first explanation, that they agree to the sexual interactions, but I cannot see the purpose of them, because later on we see that they are using them to breed a hybrid race that don't actually reach maturity. They die off prior to that, and they cannot figure out why.
It is obvious and very easy to understand why these offspring, which is a bad term, they might as well say lab animals, die off. It is because they use them in such a way that their life expectancy is basically drained from them. The experiments that they run on them drain out their existence. If you insert needles and extract hormones and chemicals and blood and tissue and secretions, you're draining the life force. A certain amount can be withstood, but continuous tapping in and drains the life flow and the life energy. It is hard to understand that these Zetas do not understand that by doing this, they themselves are causing the problem that they can't understand.
Okay. One part that brought up about this was the fact that because there was no love that was interacted between the Zetas and the children, and that the only love that came was from adults that they had abducted and brought to the ship to give the children love.
Mm-hmm. That is quite correct. But by abducting the individuals, even though they may put on the front of being happy and cheerful, they are not. The children sense this and therefore do not actually take the pseudo-love that is being given. Even though, as was said last night, some love is better than no love. The children, because of their environment, do not trust these individuals. It is necessary for the children to bond with individuals. For example, Karen's children. They have grown well and are happy because they have bonded with individuals on an individual one-on-one basis. If, for example, let us take Anna Marie. If Karen's mother, person that was the father, were all linked together as a group consciousness, then Anna Marie would have been very confused in the fact of, was she talking to her grandmother, her mother, or her father? So therefore, a distrust would develop, even though it may be Karen she is facing, or Karen's mother, or her father, she would not be sure if she was dealing with her father, or Karen, or her grandmother.
Well, on the same note, one of the people who are asking questions asked the question that she remembers seeing a six-year-old child on the ship, and she was with two people. She had scars on her face, and she bent down to acknowledge her. It was very important for her to love that child. They said that she had been sick
And I said I didn't care, I wanted to kiss her. And she kissed all the scars on her face, and I fell out of love for her. And then she asked if that was her child. And the answer was that your emotion will answer the question for you. Trust those emotions. And then she says that if you can send her love, I would be grateful. And they say you will have an opportunity to see her again.
Again, I refer you to the question that was just stated, or the answer I just said. To that, I would like to add the fact that they were using the child in a carefully orchestrated situation as a bait to get this person back up so that she could be used and manipulated again. Whether the child is hers or not is irrelevant. The fact that it could be her child makes it even more tricky and devious the way that they're behaving. They're using the carrot method to get a response and to get material. The natural instinct of mothers and fathers to protect things that they perceive as their offspring is a very strong and powerful tool that will make them do very strange things, even to the point of laying down their own lives for their offspring. It is not just a human emotion. If you were to threaten the feline's kittens upstairs, she would fight to the death to protect them.
Scary. One of my last questions then is, they claim to be living upon the fourth and fifth dimensions, nothing about the sixth.
It is impossible to live in time. It is very hard to live in the fifth dimension. It can be done if you use energy fields to manipulate and maintain a safe environment, a stable environment. But without those aids, it is impossible. We live in the fifth dimension, in a six-dimensional workspace. In essence, we live in the fifth dimension. We use gravitational energy to create a stable environment that does not give us the serious headaches that you would expect in a higher, in a less technologically evolved civilization. As has been stated in the past, you could put many cases into a matchbox, many cases of wine. They may all explode out as the fifth dimensional properties change within the matchbox.
Well, that's all I have the questions on that matter. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I'm happy to add it on to the webpage.
Yes, let us answer Karen's question.
All right.
How do you know it wasn't out? It wasn't. Okay, fine. I just thought I'd ask.
It was self-evident that it was not.
Well, they said that they can only take you if you volunteer yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means to say that these abductions are voluntary, or are they not voluntary?
I refer you to the answer I gave at the start.
But it's trickery. But
exactly.
But they're still saying that every time they probe you and stuff like that, they have been... They ask your permission first, regardless of the questions they give you.
Correct.
But still, is it voluntary? Are they really taking these people voluntary, or are just being taken, period?
These people have been tricked into giving voluntary consent. It is, for example, Kiri puts it so much better than I would. Come, let us have pleasure. I will please you, is what she's saying. Let me make you feel happy and complete. But let me give you the gifts that you so wish, desire to have upon you. So much pleasure. Will you come and join me in that pleasure?
Kiri sounds like that.
She says she'll handcuff you. She'll handcuff your feet to the bed and make sure they're wide open.
Oh.
But she did not say that. She said that after the way that she worded it.
Right.
That she would give you pleasure and joy. But she did not say that she was going to strap you to the bed and handcuff you and do with you as she so desires.
True.
The fact that she would not do that to you is besides the point. The fact she is using it as a demonstration tool is the lesson.
Okay,
thank you. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Haha. Yeah. Nice pose. Need a little tutu on now. Or something black and sexy.
Hey, man, I'm wearing something white and sexy.
Okay, well, actually, you're wearing red and blue. That's okay.
I'm not. I'm wearing a toga.
Well, not down here, you.
Oh, Mark's body.
Yes. He look really funny in a toga right about now.
He does wear a toga, actually.
Well, that's up there.
Mm-hmm. Not very often.
I see his legs. He does have nice legs, though.
Oh, he does.
What... What's in the fourth and fifth dimension?
The fourth is time. Pure time.
The fourth is time?
Mm-hmm. Think of all the possibilities that can happen from one event. That is time. And all of them happening at the same time. Fifth is space. But not space as in go out there above your planet's atmosphere. It is... That would be the best way to explain it. I more use the analogy of having a matchbox and putting cases of wine in there. Another way to explain it would be, let us say you wanted to get to the pizza box that you put up in the kitchen, right?
Actually, no, it's laying at your feet.
Oh, it is? Okay, that's better, yeah. Now, let us assume you wanted a piece of pizza, right?
Uh-huh.
You get up and you take one step. And it's just as far away as it was when you started. You take five steps, and it's still just as far away as it started. You take 100 steps, and it is still just as far away as when you started. You turn around, you walk towards the door, and let us say you assume that you can get to the door. You do. You open the door, you go out, you walk all the way around, come back in. You step in the box as you come down the steps. Oops. But that's the way the fifth dimension works. Or, I should say it's what, about five steps away?
It's maybe two about steps. Two.
Okay.
Well,
let us say that you're sitting there and you decide you want your piece of pizza. You get up and you take one step and you're right there. Right?
Uh-huh.
The properties of the fifth dimension are never constant. It's things do not appear as they are. For example, let us say that Russ wanted to get to that box, right? And let us say we go through all the grief and aggravation of explaining, taking steps directly towards it. Right. Russ turns around, walks up, across the ceiling, across the wall, down the other side, and picks up the box.
What controls the fifth dimension, or is it an uncontrolled?
It's uncontrolled.
So it's unconditional space.
Correct. For example, let us say you wanted to go to Mars from your planet. Normally, it would take about 6 months to a year to travel with your current technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the fifth dimension, you could never reach it. Or you could hop in a Boeing 747, take off, and land on it. All very confusing, isn't it? So it's never constant.
Right.
And there's a part of the base. Right down at the very bottom and right against the energy generators that we use as a training tool for people that need to learn the lessons of the fifth dimension. We take them down there, we set up a table, and we set up food on that table. We set a chair up about 10 paces away. We switch off the field within that contained area and ask them to have dinner.
They can't get to the table.
Or they get to the table straight away. And the instructions are quite clear. Every time you grab a piece of food, you must take only one item. You return back to your seat. And we usually...
Back to the seat might be just as much trouble getting to the table.
There you go. You see?
In other words, you don't eat till tomorrow. Till class is over.